Hello, I'm Alice Gray and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Petri Dish, the podcast that dissects science and takes a look down the microscope at controversial topics within research. We're continuing our celebrations for International Women's Day, celebrating women in STEM as well as their science. Today we're joined by Emma Wynall, a neuroscientist working in research surrounding Huntington's disease at Cardiff University, and she's an ambassador for STEM engagement. She shares her experience working in the field, her work in STEM communication, as well as life as a triplet. So I'm joined by Emma Wynall. She's a neuroscientist, research fellow at Cardiff and looking into Huntington's disease and a huge ambassador for STEM engagement. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
And part of our International Women's Day celebrations.
Hurrah!
Yeah, yeah. So it's an honour to have you on as well and a fellow Cardiff girl.
Yeah.
It's just fellow neuro Cardiff girl. Perfect. I've ticked my boxes
now. Oh, great.
Well, let's first things first. Tell us a bit about yourself and your research.
Yeah, so as you said, born in Cardiff and did my degree in Cardiff and then stayed on to do a PhD and now a fellowship with Health and Care Research Wales. And my research is really looking into Huntington's disease, which is a neurodegenerative brain disease that is quite rare and is caused by a faulty gene. Mm-hmm. So whilst I used to do quite a lot of work in the lab, now I'm doing a lot of my research in the clinic. So working with patients and families affected by Huntington's disease.
And have you always done neuroscience or did you do something before?
No, so my first degree was actually in biochemistry. So I was really interested and still am in the kind of genes and the molecular biology and all the things that we can't really see. And then I spotted the opportunity to do a PhD in Huntington's disease, which really kind of interested me. And I've now pursued that to the clinic.
And I suppose that sort of highlights the how all science sort of feeds into one another.
Yeah.
Because something like, you know, you don't just strictly work in neuroscience and only deal with neuroscience, you could work in biochemistry and deal with other things.
Yeah, I think it's really important, you know, you'll have a range of different skills from across the board. And actually, I think that can only be a good thing, really, the fact that you're feeding in through lots of different disciplines. And I think it's actually a really positive thing to look into different disciplines and not restrict yourself to just one thing.
Mm. And I mean, what about Huntington's disease really captured your interest?
Yeah, so Huntington's disease is a disease that is caused by a single gene, and that's quite a rare thing. So normally in terms of diseases, we think that they might be caused by genetics or environment or a combination of the two. But in terms of Huntington's disease, we know if someone has the gene for the disease, they will certainly go on to develop it. And that's something that is really quite rare. And also for me, it was about the environment and the place. And I was really lucky to be in a really world-leading lab group to do my PhD as well.
And I think not a lot of people know about Huntington's disease. I mean, if you watch the show House, you know about Huntington's disease and you know how debilitating it is and how scary it is to have that, know that you might have that gene or you could be facing that for your future. So something like having, knowing that good research is going on is really important. And I think that's where your role as a STEM engagement sort of STEM communicator comes in, because getting that into letting the public know about what's going on in the lab and how that will affect people with Huntington's and how the research going on in the labs will translate into clinics is really, really important.
Yeah. So particularly for rare diseases, a smaller number of people are affected, that doesn't mean the research is any less important. And I think we probably need to do more to raise awareness and understanding of these rare conditions so that people are just more aware of them.
Mm. And I mean, so you do a lot of work for STEM ambassadors and STEM engagement. And what kind of response do you feel you get from the public when you're talking to them about science? Is it positive or?
Yeah, so generally it's really, really positive. And I think as long as you present your ideas and your research in a very accessible way, that can only be a really good thing. I do, as you said, do a lot of work with the STEM ambassadors, and I was really lucky kind of growing up to have really good teachers in school, and really good, I suppose, mentors and ambassadors for me. And I think, you know, I feel a bit of an obligation to give back because of that, and also because, you know, I think that it's really actually fulfilling and rewarding to go and talk to, you know, either school kids or the general public or anyone who's interested really about science.
Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting when you say school kids and public, because often when we think of STEM engagement or science engagement, we think of kids, but adults are so eager to find out about science as well. And
definitely.
I guess in your realm of research, where it's mostly adults affected by this condition, It's great to not only see kids get excited about science, but adults getting excited about it as well.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I've done engagement activities with older people, you know, talking to people in nursing homes. And the main thing I kind of learned from that is that science has changed so much, you know, over the years. And speaking to particularly older women about how science has changed, and they're saying, you know, that's great, I would have loved these opportunities, but they just didn't exist, you know, 50, 60 years ago. So, you know, speaking to everyone who's kind of interested, and even people who, you know, you talk to them initially and maybe they're not quite so as engaged as you might hope, but, you know, you can really develop a rapport with them and kind of get them engaged, and, you know, hopefully they'll leave kind of having learned something new and really enjoyed it.
I love the thought of someone going away and saying something that I've taught them at a dinner party.
Yeah.
I love that thought of just like, and then that person going on and saying it as well, that just like sparks something in
them.
It's
just learning something new, isn't
it? Yeah.
And, you know, that can only be a good thing, I think.
And, you know, just getting a new fact or a new, you know, something you might be interested in, go home and look up on Wikipedia or something, or go and watch a documentary about. It's really important, and it shouldn't be underestimated. So why do you think science engagement is important for the public?
So I think it's really important, and I think it's probably important for a number of reasons, actually. I think given that a lot of the research we do is funded by taxpayers, we have an obligation to be able to convey the research to the general public. I think not only is it beneficial for the public, it's also really beneficial for the researchers. And, you know, there are lots of researchers I can think of that have hugely benefited from their engagement activities. And, you know, particularly when you might be, I don't know, struggling at work or having a bit of a down kind of few days, actually going and talking to the public about your research and getting feedback on it can be really, you know, beneficial. I remember talking to a group of, these are actually quite young school kids, and we asked them for feedback on what they'd most enjoyed about the day, and a particular young girl just said, oh, I want to be a scientist.
Aww.
And, you know, that kind of made my week, actually. So yeah, that was really, really quite beneficial. And also it's really good fun.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, it does take a lot of organisation and a lot of really hard work to put these things on. But I think it is, you know, beneficial to everyone who's involved, really.
Yeah. Both scientists and public.
Yeah, exactly.
It's great. And speaking of sort of engagement events, you're going to the Hay Festival.
Yes.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yes.
It's like my dream festival. I'm not interested in mud and alcohol, and I want books and talks. So
it should be really, really good.
Yeah.
So Cardiff University have a number of speakers this year at the Hay Festival. So I'll be going along and speaking about my research on Huntington's disease, hoping to raise awareness and promote understanding.
Well, I'll be buying a ticket.
Oh, thank you. I'll see you there.
Yeah, I'll see you there, and I'll be in the front row with the flag.
Cheering me on.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So, because it's International Women's Day and it's part of our International Women's Day celebrations, I was wondering if there was a moment, an event, or a person that has inspired you, not just within science, it can be anything.
Oh.
It's a really big question.
It's a tough question, isn't it? Probably a bit cheesy, but I'd probably say my mum, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know whether you know this, I'm one of triplets.
I'm one of twins.
Multiple birth friends. But you know, to have such a kind of strong and inspirational mum kind of growing up with all the challenges that having triplets brings is, you know, quite a challenge, I would have thought. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, having my mum there has been, you know, hugely beneficial. I think kind of throughout my career, taking chances and maybe just going for opportunities and almost putting your kind of name in the hat, often in the face of kind of adversity. I very much conform to the attitude of just give it a go, because even if, you know, you get turned down, I truly do believe you'll learn something from it, and you should just take it more in a positive light. So probably just the ability to give things a go, and often a lot of the things you do kind of give a go to will take you in all sorts of different directions that you didn't necessarily anticipate. So that's kind of part of the fun of it as well, I think.
That's a lovely takeaway message for our listeners. So thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Again, thank you for having me.
An amazing series of celebrations of women in STEM for International Women's Day is part of Inside the Petri Dish. And I'm sure we're going to hear lots more from you. And I'm going to certainly hear from you at the Hay Festival.
Hey. So I'll see you then.
Thank you so much for joining
me. Thank you.
It was a great pleasure to have Emma on Inside the Petri Dish to celebrate her for International Women's Day. Stay tuned for the next episode of Inside the Petri Dish. Please go rate and subscribe to our podcast as it helps other people find us. And until next time, see you later.